This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Half game behind American.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on this Thursday in February at Bandits in Grand Island. I'm just talking with our buddy Tim here. He's getting ready for Valentine's Day. He goes, you know, we're all about romanticism here at Bandits. Oh, we're looking forward to that coming up this weekend. The Heartland Hoops Class will be here. Come on out to Bandits Saturday before, during, after. If you need to get out of there for a little bit, Bandits is right down the road here, and they would love to take care of you. And, of course, tonight, they love live music here at Bandits, and tonight a band that is very well known to the Tri-Cities, formerly Three, is going to be here at Bandits tonight at 9 o'clock. Cool thing about them, it's like karaoke where you don't have to sing because they play it all. They'll take your request. They've got the playlist. You get to choose what you want them to play, and it's all starting tonight at 9 o'clock here at Bandits. And, of course, if you're looking for lunch today, don't forget the lunch special today will be the Sparky's Buffalo Chicken Sandwich. It's an outstanding glaze that you can get and flavor for your wings, bone-in, boneless, or today the Sparky's Buffalo Chicken Sandwich with fries, only $4.99. Can't beat it at all. Steve Anderson from Fauner Park co-hosted today, 1 week away from getting the racing season underway just down the road at Fauner Park. We'll talk with the assistant racing secretary at Fauner, Wayne Anderson, later on in the program. Also, Ross Halford of Husker Matt is going to discuss district wrestling as the tournaments get underway tomorrow in BC and D, and then, of course, Class A coming up on Saturday. And Nebraska Danger head coach Mike Davis is going to join us as well. The Danger will have an exhibition game on the road in Iowa on Saturday at Cedar Rapids. Their first game is the 1st of March, but practice underway. We'll get a chance to talk about it. And, Steve, I know Coach Davis has slid in here a couple of times while we're at Bandits in the offseason. I know he is really fired up about the football team that he has this year, and that's saying something when you've made the championship game the last 2 years.
Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, this is a really exciting time of the year when I hear all the national sports guys talk about how slow it is and and no news days, but here locally, you know, we're on the eve of another live thoroughbred race meet at Fauner, which kicks off a week from tomorrow. With the Danger going to Cedar Rapids, Iowa tomorrow night to kick things off with a preseason game. We're just right on the borderline of a lot of excitement coming down the pike. And I know you got the state wrestling tournament next week, and then it's just Katie Barr the door, right? I mean, it just comes in a gush. So when you think things have just slowed down to a trickle, it's kind of like our weather here in Nebraska. Wait till tomorrow. It'll all change.
Yeah, it is the busy time of year for the high school athletes, because next week sub-districts begin, the winter postseason begins. It's girls sub-districts and state wrestling, boys sub-districts, state duels, state swimming. Then you get into state boys and girls basketball. Pretty much 5 solid weeks now. You're coming off conference tournaments for most in the area. Some held theirs a week or two ago. But this 6-7 weeks, the busiest as far as high school athletics is all season long, something almost every day and night, and it makes it fun, and it is very competitive, and it is going to be a good time as well. So we invite you to join us, 888-455-ESPN, if you've got something to say on the fan line today, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us, and that is at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 1550. And of course, you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Do it anytime. Maybe a thought pops in your head when we're not doing the show live, but we'll still get to it. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. As we said, there's been some coaching news throughout this time of the year. This is about the time, unless you're a basketball coach, you'll wait till the end of the season, but you'll start hearing about moving. Coaches have retired, so somebody's got to fill those. Maybe it's time to move up. Maybe it's time to move along. Maybe you're going to just do something different with your life. We talked about Ravenna having a new head football coach because Coach Hudson's going up to Boone Central Newman Grove. We have been alerted this morning that one of our buddies, Scott Porter, over at Blue Hill, he has accepted the head coaching job at Cambridge. And I'll be interested to talk with Coach Porter because when we talked with Coach Hudson, there's nothing wrong with eight-man football. We all know and we all love that. But if you're on that border, and I know that was one of his concerns, is maybe falling from 11 to 8. And I know Cambridge, like Blue Hill, has been on that teeter, and Blue Hill dropped down to eight-man for the first time this year. Cambridge's numbers are right there as well, so I'll be interested to see if Coach Porter believes that 11-man is in their future. And, of course, Cambridge with a deep tradition. He built a tradition over there at Blue Hill, and we wish the best of luck to Coach Porter. So a lot going on. Hastings College basketball both won last night. The Hastings men, all of a sudden, they've got it figured out. They've won five of their last six. They're getting 100 points in some of these games, 103-94 last night. The women, they continue to roll. They're going to be taking on nationally ranked competition here down the stretch. The Nebraska women are home tonight at Pinnacle Bank, taking on Iowa, 8 o'clock on the Breeze, 94.5 in the Big Ten Network, and UNK is down at Pittsburgh State. But we are here at Bandits, and again, I know it's a busy time of the year for you, Steve, and we've talked about it this week, but I really thought you would have a report from the Barry Manilow concert for me.
I'll tell you what, I've seen Barry Manilow a couple of times years ago when I thought he was an old man out in Vegas, just off the top of my head. No, I had a buddy that, as an avid race fan, I was telling you the story before we went on, that was at that concert last night. I had no idea Barry was going to be in Omaha. And
because you'd have went?
Yeah, no, I did. I did not go. But my friend, who's a lawyer at night and plays the ponies during the daytime, I don't know how you figure that one out. He actually had tickets in the last row, and he reported through Facebook. And I hate to pass anything on anymore about Facebook because how do you know? But his story is he had tickets in the last row. That was as good as he could get. And an usher came up from out of nowhere and said, "Hey, buddy, I got four seats in row 14. Would you like to exchange?" Well, the next thing I know, he's got eight pictures of Barry on stage. Looked like he was right there shaking his hand. It was unbelievable. These kinds of things never happened to me. I think it's legitimate.
Now, see, this is where old horse racing stories come back. And every time we think about that never happens to me, we always know that the objection sign only blinks when you have hit, and it never blinks when you think it should.
Which brings me to the Powerball. Did it go out last night?
Yeah. Unless you were in North Carolina, Puerto Rico, or Texas. There was three winners last night of Powerball, and those were the three states that those winning tickets were sold in. And so that's the good thing, you know, 564, and that's the amazing thing too, Steve-O, when it comes to this Powerball. So this was Wednesday, so they drew out Saturday, and I believe after the Saturday drawing, they had posted 360 or 380, 360 or 380 million as the jackpot size. And it grew that much, $200 million in that amount of time, Sunday, 4 days, basically.
Phenomenal. I must self-report that my wife and I, watching the local news early last night, got charged up. They were over here at a local grocery store passing out free lottery tickets. So I gave my wife a buck, and And she ran over to the local convenience store. And this is how long it's been since I played the lottery. She came back and told me I owed her a dollar.
Yeah.
And when did it go to two?
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I didn't hit a number. I know the Powerball was 19 and it came up, and I think mine was 29, whatever the situation is. But anyway, I always said that I would, to speculate in the lottery was absolutely chasing after fool's gold. Now, I've been known to invest and speculate a little bit, mostly on the ponies, and you've certainly got a great shot at getting a return on your investment. But with the lottery, I guess if the only good news is it's kind of like Keno, nothing wagered, nothing gained. So if you don't play, you got nobody to blame but yourself if you never, ever win.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got a good report from our turf writer, Bob Hamer, who does it all at the Grand Island Independent with his crew over there. But he was happy to report to me that the horse named Doug was on the grounds and has posted some workout times. So that means the horse is still moving. Running, I don't know. Moving, yes, because a couple of the races I've watched, I wouldn't exactly call that running.
Well, you know what? Doug really had a pretty sterling campaign last year. It's just that when you showed up, he seemed to rear his ugly head in the wrong direction.
Imagine that.
But I'm guessing that Marvy Johnson's still training Doug. They tell me he was named after our racing secretary, Doug Shep. And, you know, I will say this. In comparison to Ordway Falls in Love, you got a lot better shot with Doug this year.
Trust me on that one. Was it Ord Joe?
Ordway Falls in Love. Ord Joe? Ord Joe?
Yeah, it was before that. Man, I'll have to double check on that.
I've drawn a blank.
Yeah, I think it was Ord Joe. There was another one in there. So, that would be right on the edge of your taking over the mic at Fauner Park, I do believe. I mean, you know, I think that would have been at least a decade ago. Maybe it's longer than that. You know how time flashes for us.
I'm coming up on year number 12. I know it's hard to believe. Some never dreamed I'd get past that first year, and rightfully so. But,
they're just trying to find somebody that can climb the ladder up there.
You know... I thought I budgeted my time well to get here on time this morning. And, of course, as soon as I get here, I get a call and miss the opening with you. Can I pass on one story? Because good fortune does every once in a while strike on my side of the fence. This happened a week ago last Tuesday. I'm out at the airport trying to escape this miserable, god-awful weather that we had ongoing at that point in time. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm headed to Tampa Bay Downs. I make an appearance there, at least I attempt to every year right before Fauner starts, and I hang out with the track announcer, Richard Grunder, who just called me, by the way. I'm trying to put the story together for my opening column in the paper in the morning. He's trying to send me a picture. At any rate, I'm sitting with a Catholic priest out here at the terminal. This is a true story.
Okay.
And they come in. The flight's supposed to take off at 6:20. And they come in and tell us that the computer malfunctioned in the cockpit and there is going to be a significant delay. Could be an hour, could be an hour and a half. They come back 20 minutes later. It might just be canceled altogether. And they haven't had a flight out to Dallas over the course of the previous 2 days. So I look at my friend and I say, Father, it's time for you to go to work, because if this thing doesn't get off the ground, there's going to be 50 lost souls in this terminal, and it's not going to be ugly on my behalf if it happens. He just twinkled, that twinkle in his eye, and smiled, and lo and behold, about 45 minutes later, a mechanic shows up out of nowhere. He comes in and says, false alarm, it was just a faulty switch, and off we go. In my case, to Shangri-La and mid-70s temperatures in Central Florida. I don't know why I thought I had to sneak that in, but it was a good, honest, Drew story.
I like good stuff. What?
Yeah.
What, Brian Williams? Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show live at Bandits. Come on down. Join us for lunch. The Sparky Buffalo Chicken Sandwich with French fries. Just $4.99 is the lunch special. And, of course, tonight, the band Formerly Three playing all of your favorites starting at 9 o'clock. When we come back, going to dive into a little wrestling talk with Ross Halford of Husker Matt. Later on, we'll talk with Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger head coach. And towards the end of the program, Wayne Anderson, assistant racing secretary from Fauner Park. We'll be right back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, look for partly to mostly cloudy skies. Can't rule out a slight chance for some flurries with high temperatures in the low 30s. And for tonight, cloudy conditions back to a low of 25. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm Michael Caro. Currently, it's 14.
Daddy Show rolling on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Steve Anderson from Fauna Park, my co-host, as we are here at Bandits in Grand Island on this February, where we have Valentine's Day coming up on Saturday. And if you want to hang out with your significant other, Bandits has a large pizza and two of your favorite adult beverages, just $20. Hey, it can be your big meal. It can be your lunch. It can be your afternoon siesta. It doesn't matter what it is. Come on in and enjoy a little Valentine's Day here. Again, we've got the Heartland Hoops Classic wall-to-wall, and we have district wrestling coming up on Saturday. The D3 final from Elm Creek will be on Classic Hits 98.9. And also on Sunday, it's the 17th annual wrestling rally, which will start at 3 o'clock, where we talk with some of the area coaches and wrestlers that have qualified for the state tournament, and just get our first look at how things might pan out and play out in Omaha. During that time, we also get a little recap and some predictions from Ross Halford of Husker Matt. It's always fun to follow HuskerMatt.com throughout the year, but especially now. And Ross joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hey, Ross, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you? I'm just hanging in there and getting ready for Matt Sanity tomorrow and through the next few weeks with the state tournament, state duels.
Ross, we'd just like to kind of paint a broad picture, obviously, this far out. If you're a big-time wrestling fan, you get deep into matchups and weights and who's got what district and all that. And if you just want to follow your school or your city's team, you just kind of want to know how many kids they might take, where they fit in the mix. And I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a couple changes down at state that we'll talk about. But if we look at the rankings, both yours and the Coaches Association, Class A has all three of our teams, Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, right towards the top. After that, you've got Amherst, the five-time champion, in D. And then there's not a whole lot, maybe not quite as deep as it's been right here, say in our 60 to 75 mile radius, Central City, Grand Island Northwest are there. For the northern edge, you've got Sergeant Burwell that might make some noise. But let's start with A, Ross. To have Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island, this is as strong as all three have been at the same time, maybe ever, or at least since we've been out of school.
Well, certainly, I mean, Kearney and Coach Swarm, I had a chance to talk to him last week up at the GNAC tournament, and he's doing a great job over at Kearney as well. They'll be, of course, at the A1 district at Papillion La Vista with the top-rated Millard South. So I still think that, Kearney, should bring 12 down to Omaha, even though it's a fairly tough district. And Grand Island is, of course, a perennial power, and, of course, they have a new coach this year. And Hastings, they really haven't been relevant as far as the team, the team picture for quite some time. And you're right, this is the best team they've had in a while. They did lose one of their better wrestlers, I understand, who will not be competing for them at districts and state, and that certainly hurts them in the big picture. So in my final ratings, I did move Hastings down a little bit because you just can't take, 20, maybe 25 points out of your state tournament as competitive as Class A is and still expect to be up near the top there. So
I had not heard the news. Who's out for Hastings?
I believe it is Andrew Schilke, who was a transfer from Adams Central, and I believe that he is not competing for Hastings anymore. So,
okay, all right. Well, you take a look at the way the Class A districts are kind of broke up. Kearney and Millard South are in the same district that'll be at Papillion, and then everybody else is fairly balanced. The key, yeah, as we saw in the World Herald this morning, they also talked Coach Swarm. The key for every coach is to just get as many kids as you can down there. Do you think that'll be a problem for any of our area teams in Class A?
No, I think again, Kearney, they should get their 12, if everything goes right. But again, a competitive district, and you certainly don't want to take anything for granted. I think Grand Island will be right in the mix over there at Lincoln Southwest, of course, and Hastings out of A4 at Omaha North as well. Should do very well. I think that A4 district maybe lacks some depth of the other qualifiers, but certainly some of the top-end matches there. In fact, as I'm putting together my district capsules, and I should have that finished up on the website for our premium paid members tonight. I built capsules for every district and every class across the state this weekend, and just kind of highlight some notes. I think that 132 weight out of A4, that's going to be really something to look for. Maybe one of the highlights of the weekend where, you have Otis Rollins, top-rated, Brandon Kyle from Hastings, the returning state champion, and then John Killingsworth out of Lincoln Southeast. I think that's one of the premier weight classes that I'll be keeping an eye on this weekend. So,
talk with Ross Halford from Husker Mat, huskermat.com. District wrestling is this weekend. Class A is Saturday. B, C, and D, they do theirs, get it started on Friday, just because there's more teams, and that way you don't have to run into that five matches in one day limit that is put on by the NSAA. You take a look in Class B, a majority of our teams are at the B3 that is going on at Aurora. Aurora is going to be finding themselves a new coach at the end of the season. I've got Adams Central's in there. You've got Columbus SCOTUS, who has become very quickly elevated. That's where Grand Island Northwest is. What can you tell us about that district, Ross?
Oh, I love that district. As far as the team race goes there, I'm really having a tough time, trying to figure out who's going to emerge from that district as well. I have Grand Island Northwest, York, right up there at the top of that district. Also Columbus SCOTUS. I have each of those with 8 projected qualifiers. So if that pans out the way that it should, then you have to look at top-end points. And I think the Grand Island Northwest will emerge out of that district as the champion. But nothing will surprise me with either of those teams. And, you know, with kind of the way that those teams will beat up on each other, you have to wonder, are they going to have enough points maybe to for all three of those teams to get into the to the state duels as well? And, you know, that adds that other element of the weekend. Now, of course, is, you know, not only are you following your own district, but when it comes down to it, you're following some of the other districts and trying to keep up with them if your team is in the mix for one of those state, you know, dual tournament berths out in Kearney. So that's going to be very, very competitive. I think the finals matches down there should be supercharged as well, just because I think that the team race will probably have those three teams in it, and it won't be decided until late on Saturday afternoon.
Few of the Class B teams like Broken Bow, Cozad, Gothenburg, Holdridge, Lexington, they get to go to Shadron and compete at Shadron State this weekend. As far as Class C, there have been a little geographic movements there. I know my friends up in the alma mater of Ord didn't really like having to go to O'Neill, who is a powerhouse. David City and O'Neill are 1-2. Most of the teams in our listening area will end up in the C3, which is going on up the road at Central City, who is state rated. Teams like Kearney Catholic, Arcadia, Loup City, Minden, Ravenna, Southern Valley, they'll head all the way out to Mitchell. So this is one of the year the panhandle is pretty heavy in district hosting. Class C, it's David City, O'Neill. Is there anybody else that you can even see in the picture here, Ross?
Yeah, certainly Valentine, because of their depth out at the B4 or C4 district, as you mentioned, at Mitchell. Could bring as many as 13 down to Omaha, could bring as few as 9. I think I had a Class C coach tell me a few weeks ago that they will know exactly how the Class C big picture, meaning state tournament, state title, will unfold once the Class C districts are over on Saturday. They said we'll know right where we're at, and I believe that now, kind of after spending a little more time looking at each of these districts onto here. I think you'll know a lot more after the heartbreak round on Saturday, especially out of the C4 district. See how many Valentine brings down, but certainly with O'Neill up north, I think they have some wrestlers that are right on the cusp that if they do get down to Omaha, they can score some points. But O'Neill, because of their lack of depth, they really have to maximize what they do with their wrestlers, and if they fail to have a good heartbreak round, I think on Saturday it could be really tough for them to beat a team like David City or perhaps even Valentine. But I will be up at the C2 district at O'Neill, which starts tomorrow, and I've never been to O'Neill. They have some of the best fans in the entire state, and I'm really looking forward to my time up there this weekend.
Hey, Ross, Steve Anderson here. I'm a horse race guy from Fauner Park, and many would tell you I'm a little out of my element commenting about high school wrestling. Back in the day, not so much. But I do know this. There are a lot of folks on the backside of Fauner over the course of the next couple of weeks that are going to be extremely interested in the run down the stretch here on the high school wrestling ranks, namely because the son of our leading trainer and a Hall of Fame trainer here in the state of Nebraska, Marv Johnson, has, I think, the number one rated wrestler at 185. This is Ty Johnson from Grand Island Northwest. Yep. Do you care to comment about Ty's chances, and has he got the makings to come home over the Class B state title next week?
There's no question that Ty Johnson has had an outstanding senior season. I got to watch them compete at the Flatwater Fracas. I believe his only loss of the season was at that tournament to Trevor Nicholson of Ashland Greenwood, who's actually down at 170 now. But Trevor Nicholson, one of the state's premier wrestlers in his own right as well. But Ty is such a great athlete, and he has he's battle tested. He's beaten several of the top other wrestlers in his weight class as well. Now, I will say this, that I do think that he's the favorite at that weight. But in my capsule that I put together for the district, I think he needs to be very, very careful this week against a dangerous wrestler, Scott Wolverton out of Seward, who. I think that if you're looking across the state this weekend here and you're saying, you know, every year we have one of these big district upsets where people just, you know, they can't believe it, I will tell you right there that I noted that match there, that that potential finals match out at B3 at Aurora. Watch that at 182, and do not be surprised if Scott Wolverton does upset Ty Johnson, and then Ty comes back next week and gets a state title for Grand Island Northwest.
Yeah, always interesting, especially when they've seen each other multiple times or just recently at conference. Just a minute left here. Cover a couple of more things with Ross Halford of Husker Mat. We'll talk with him again on Sunday before and during our wrestling rally on Classic Hits that starts at 3. In Class D, Amherst, obviously, will be at the D3 at Elm Creek. That's where we will be with the majority of the area teams. Some are headed to Fremont, like Hastings, St. Cecilia. They'll be at Midland, and just a very few will have to go all the way out to Hemingford, which is lovely because I was there for state football. But, again, another panhandle school hosting district. So it's a foregone conclusion as far as the team title in the D3. But as we look ahead, Amherst has 10 kids, I believe, rated. Is there a challenge once they get down to Omaha? Because it looks like the rankings have changed behind them throughout the season.
No, they really don't have a challenger in the big picture. They're going to be heavy favorites at both the individual state tournament and the state duels. The Class D teams just don't have the depth to match up with Amherst. You're right, I've had North Platte, St. Pat's, and Windside kind of, mixed around 2-3 all year, maybe to a lesser extent. Keep an eye on Friend, who looks like that they might have enough, to really make a push towards that state runner-up championship. But again, in this day and age here, most of the teams in Class D, they're lucky if they can have three or four, wrestlers on the roster. And where Amherst, has a problem sometimes where they have state, tournament caliber kids that, can't break into their lineup. So it's a machine over there with Coach Herman and what he's done at Amherst. And, I was kind of thinking about this a little bit yesterday. And, they've had a few injuries again this year. I believe unfortunately, Colin Dibburn, third torn ACL of his career, unfortunately, he's out. And he would have gotten them some points, but they're just a machine, and they just are unrivaled in Class D. And I really like what they've done with our schedule this year. I think that's going to prepare them as they go into Omaha here, having wrestled the likes of Kearney and some teams from Kansas, Class B Bennington as well. And so I certainly think that they're the favorites at D3 and certainly at the state level.
Well, the beauty about sports is we're here at Bandits in Grand Island on this Thursday with all the TVs on, and over in the corner, it's All-Star Weekend for NBA basketball, and they're showing Spud Webb win the dunk contest. So anything is possible in sports, and that's what makes it great, Ross. There will be minor changes. The fans will note that wrestlers will not be introduced by the PA folks down in Omaha. Instead, kind of like they did last year for the finals, from time to time they'll discuss a match that might be going on. Is there anything besides that significant that fans will notice as we head down to CenturyLink next week?
I sometimes they don't let me in on all the intricate details of what they've got planned. So I haven't heard anything from Ron Higdon at the NSAA as well. I'll probably get some more information on that and maybe be able to discuss that a little bit more on the wrestling rally on Sunday as well. But other than that, I think, the improvements they've made over the past couple of years have been positive. And, again, I'm looking forward to a great show again this week. We'll be one week out here. We'll be down at the C-Link, right?
Yeah, it'll be crazy again doing the show 1 week from today in Omaha. Ross, we'll let you get back to your day. I'll talk with you Sunday, okay, buddy? Thanks so much as always for the time and the great job you do.
I think we lost Ross there. Just that's good. When he
is
came
he on a 7-second delay or a bleep here? Because maybe he was directing some derogatory comments at yours truly.
No, never.
Hey, coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show, we'll talk with the head coach of the Nebraska Danger, Mike Davis. They're on their way to Iowa, and we are here in Grand Island at one of the Danger's favorite spots, Bandits, where today's lunch special is the Sparky's Buffalo Chicken Sandwich with French fries, $4.99. Come on in, see us, see Tim and the gang, and don't forget to tonight, you'll be able to enjoy live music of Formerly Three getting things underway at 9. Mike Davis from the Nebraska Danger, Wayne Anderson, Fodder Park, still to come when we come back.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. I have been helping people with their health and nutrition needs for over 10 years, and GNC is a world leader in natural health and wellness products with an unmatched 75 years in the nutritional supplement industry. A reputation like ours is earned by providing superior products and service to every individual. Experience the difference firsthand. Plus, save 20% off your purchases every day at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
GNC, 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 GNC.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
The number one high school team in America is coming to the Heartland Hoops Classic. Oak Hill Academy arrives undefeated, ranked nationally for 31 of the last 39 seasons. And this year they'll face Omaha South, also nationally ranked and the number two team in Nebraska. The Heartland Hoops Classic is February 14th, also featuring Amherst Ravenna, St. Cecilia BDS, Omaha Scott Norfolk Catholic, Aurora GICC, and Elkhorn South Columbus Scopes. Tickets good for all sessions are available at the Heartland box office or via Ticketmaster.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Registration is now open at the Hastings YMCA for Spring Youth Sports. This is a great way to get your child involved in some fun activity and team interaction. The Spring Youth Sports season runs April through May with spring soccer, volleyball, and flag football. Parents who volunteer to coach get free registration for their kid to play. Maximum 2 children free per team. Contact the Hastings Y today for more information on coaching a team or for registering your youth for spring soccer, volleyball, or flag football. Find out more at hastingsymca.net.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation, where we take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you, as we get ready for spring training to begin, if you still like or still don't like interleague baseball during the regular season. A lot of people love it. I love it, Steve. I like it. I like to see, instead of playing one team 21 times a year, if you're going to play 162 games, let's play some different people. And a variety of our folks think so, too. 89% said they do love interleague baseball. Now, here's one for you, and you'll have to take your Nebraska fan hat off. Is the 35-second shot clock a good thing for college basketball? They're going to experiment with a 30-second shot clock in the men's NIT postseason tournament this year. Their hat could be a 40 or 45-second shot clock, but right now it's 35. Is the 35-second shot clock a good thing for college basketball? Vote on our Midtown Mart Cooler question right now at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Just on that question, yes, it's a good thing. You have to have a shot clock in basketball in this day and age. Now, to make it any shorter, I don't know. I don't think that's the problem, Steve, with what's going on. I think you make it shorter, you're just going to see even more bad shots.
Well, to some effect, you're right, because I'm thinking about the current situation down in Lincoln and our Nebraska Cornhuskers. I mean, if you can't score, it doesn't matter how many seconds are on that shot clock. But I will tell you, this, that I grew up in the era of four corners basketball. You know, Dean Smith invented it, and Mo Ibutt took it to its exact zenith in terms of trying to utilize it to improve the talent of those Nebraska teams back in the late 70s, early 80s. And it was like watching paint dry. Now, the good news is that Mo won a lot of basketball games back then, not having a shot clock and being to air out the ball. But I'll tell you what, with the talent and the things that these guys can do nowadays on a basketball court, as far as I'm concerned, they could go clear down to 24 seconds and match what the pros do. Just put it up, baby. If it goes in or doesn't, just put it up.
You like the speed of the game. You like go, go, go.
Go, go. Yeah, absolutely.
That's why the Nebraska Danger are so fun to watch heading into their fifth anniversary season. They're on the road for their exhibition game in Iowa on Saturday. The head coach, Mike Davis, joins us. We're here at Bandits, and we miss you already, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. They said your tab's all paid up, so can we open it up again?
Sure, absolutely. Take care of
him. We got a chance to talk with you as excited as you were about getting all the guys in and getting camp going here a couple of weeks ago. Just right off the bat here, did everybody make it in, and how have the first couple 3 weeks went for you?
Yeah, everybody's here. Everybody made it in, and it's been really competitive. You know, probably the most competitive camp I've had since I've been here.
Mike, just for the general fan out there, kind of reemphasize how many guys you've got in camp and how many you can hold on your roster. Obviously, cuts have to be made. If it's going to be competitive, you've got to have a decent number in here to push each other. So how many you got? When do those decisions have to be made?
We have 37 in camp right now, and we have to cut down to 25 here in the next 10 days. We'll probably actually cut down close to 25 after our preseason game on Friday, and that way we can kind of get some continuity and some gelling going on with team chemistry.
Mike Davis, head coach of the Nebraska Danger. You brought a lot of guys back. I know you're fired up about this team. Stay healthy and get things done right, and you could be back in the championship game for a third consecutive season. When you've reached the level that you're at, Mike, what are you still looking for? Because you don't really have to get over the hump. You just kind of got to get over one more possession in the whole season. What's the key for you to do that here this year?
You know, I think it starts in preseason right now. You know, we've had a different group of guys this year that, you know, they work out all the time. You know, we put in a new strength and conditioning program that's mandatory just so we stay a little healthier and we don't hit that 10-week, you know, slump, as everybody calls it, just because you're playing more games and things like that. So I think that's really, it's so far in camp, that's really been a factor for us.
You've got your coaching staff put together and some very familiar faces. You got a couple veterans that are joining you this year. What will the new faces bring to this team?
Season. No, it's crazy. Coach Levy and Coach Page are two unique individuals. They come from a long line of coaching, and they've been around the world and back. Coach Page has been in the indoor game for, I think, 9 years. He's a retired cop. And then Coach Levy's been in the college game and stuff for, 20-some years, I think. And he does a little bit of everything. He's one that we kind of got together with the strength and conditioning program because that's, you know, that's just kind of forte is along with coaching. It's been great. You know, the guys that kind of get a different perspective on certain things, and they bring a different level of intensity. You know, a lot of the guys, you know, they don't joke around with them like we don't either, but, you know, they kind of look to them like a father figure. So it's been nice.
Coach Davis, I stumbled onto one of the local sports channels here last night. First, I must commend you about that skull cap look that you've got this time of year, but then I remembered what was underneath it. So, you know, guys like me don't have to worry about headgear at this time of the year. Nonetheless, can you tell us the story about the cousins that you have on the team right now. I mean, I come from a very small family, and I found this story to be quite humorous and also very informative, because in this day and age, how do you not know you got a cousin just right down the road that maybe as good or better than you are playing football?
My fault, exactly. I gave Kane the worst kind of trouble he could get into last year when I found out that his cousin was playing. And he was like, "Coach, I didn't even know he was still playing." And I'm like, "He's younger than you. How do you not know that? You're still playing." And, you know, we played against him, and you know, Kane's cousin, Court, is just is a phenomenal defensive back. And, you know, he's competitive. He's got an edge to him. It's kind of what we were missing in the secondary. And then, of course, you get them together, and it's, I mean, you can hear them laughing from, you know, on the other side of the arena. There's never a dull moment. Let's put it that way.
Mike Davis is the head football coach of the Nebraska Danger. What were a key addition or two in your eyes, Coach? I know the final roster, as you said, hasn't been made, but there's always a position that you probably had to upgrade, or somebody left, retired. Where were you looking in the offseason, and who are a couple of those fresh faces?
You know, really, when you look back at the last two seasons, we missed a lot of plays defensively in the secondary and up front. So, you know, that's why the addition of Court was huge for us. And then you go ahead and add the addition of a couple kids we have up front, Claude Davis, you know, David Gilbert, DD Jones from Arkansas. You get those guys in there who come from, you know, your Wisconsin's, your South Florida's, your Arkansas's, and they've really turned up the notch in practice.
Mike, why? I asked you last year, and you said, a couple of the guys, like a Jameel Sewell, you weren't even sure was coming back last year. He's back this year. Last year you said they wanted to come back because they were so close to winning the championship. They thought they could get it done. Obviously, I'm guessing that's one of the reasons. But you've got Pig Brown back. You've got Jameel Sewell back. I could run down 6, 8, 10 names here that you've got back. What is it about the Danger? Maybe it's the city. Maybe it's you guys as coaches. Maybe it's just getting the chance to continue to play football because they're not making $100,000 a year. What is it about these guys continuing to stick with the Danger?
You know, last year was kind of unique in the fact that it was the first time in my history of being a coach and a player that we had a team that hung out all the time. We didn't have clicks. Like, they all could see 10, 12 of them at a time at dinner. Out in the town, whether it's Olive Garden, whether it's at the Roadhouse, whether it's Bandits, I mean, anywhere, they were always together. And they hung out morning and night. And it when they walked in the facility to practice, it was like, okay, all friendships aside, let's clock in and go to work for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then, they turned around and, you know, it was nice. So once a couple of them decided to come back, they kind of all jumped on the bandwagon and said, let's do this and go out on top.
You've got your first exhibition game coming up this weekend. You're out there in Iowa now or on the way as we speak. What are you looking for? Do you worry about it being competitive, or are you just using this as, hey, there's somebody different, at least on the other side of the field? And again, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. It'll be super competitive, I'm sure. I've told them all camp, like, I'm just looking for execution. I'm not worried about the score, because if we execute and play hard, the score will take care of itself. It doesn't go in the win-loss column for us, but this game is going to decide a lot of these kids' futures, and that's the promising part of it, because I'm excited to see that. I said something today on social media about how excited I was to see how some of these guys perform when the lights come on, because you just never know. Some guys just have that switch, and some guys don't.
Coach Davis, I've never seen the Danger play outside of the friendly confines of the Heartland Events Center, and I'm curious because from time to time I run into one of your great fans, Daryl Harney, and he's got a bunch of guys there that just kind of tailgate and follow you all over. You're heading to Cedar Rapids now. How do some of these other venues outside of the state of Nebraska in your league compare to the great facility that we've become accustomed to back home?
You know, besides probably the new facility in Sioux Falls, ours is one of the nicer ones. You know, we have a great fan base. You know, we get close to packing the place every game. Now, when we go to Cedar Rapids, they have a good fan base as well, and it'll be loud and it's crowded. But as far as the facility goes, ours is one of the top two, maybe three in the business.
And I assume there's some nuances at every venue. I mean, just off the top of my head, Coach, playing indoors, the first thing I'd want to look at going to a foreign environment is where that ceiling is up above. How do you take in these accounts, and what do you look for when you go into a new joint?
You know, the first thing we look at is obviously the ceiling. How's our kicker going to be able to kick the football? And then second thing we look at is the end zones. You know, some of the Sioux Falls was notorious for their short end zones. Well, Cedar Rapids has a similar end zone. Now that Sioux Falls is in their new arena, their end zones are just like ours. So, you know, a few odds and ends. Does the scoreboard hang down low? Is it up against the ceiling? You know, those are pretty much the main ones that we look at every time.
14-game season begins at Green Bay March 1st. The home opener is Saturday night, March 7th, against Wichita Falls. And we'll talk with Coach Davis before the season kicks off more about the league, who's strong, who's new, what's changed. And we'll let him get back to work right now. Mike, best of luck this weekend. Keep him healthy. Talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Mike Davis, head coach, Nebraska Danger. More and more we get to know Mike.
He's the real deal.
Yeah,
he is.
That's
a great guy.
That's a good way to put it.
All the way around. I used to sit, it seemed like always in the neighborhood in the off season out at Fodder, the simulcast area, and listen to a lot of his analysis. He loves the horse races, and for the longest time, I didn't know who this guy was. I mean, I'm ashamed to even admit it, but he's well-versed. I love that little bit of... Is it a South Carolina drawl that he has? He certainly is a man of humor. And I wish him all the luck in the world. I don't know how you keep a young buck like him around for any length of time, but he's even achieved that. And so the Bossman family keeping him in here. And obviously things are clicking out there for the Nebraska Danger. I may have been one of the biggest naysayers right off the shelf. I thought, you know, well, maybe we ought to go to hockey and emulate what's going on over at Kearney, but obviously much smarter people made the right decision in going with indoor football as we know it now out at Fodder.
Thank goodness we did, for variety's sake, because they're doing such a great job too. We're going to take a break here. We are live at Bandits in Grand Island, where the lunch special today is the Sparky Buffalo Chicken Sandwich with French fries for $4.99. Slide in when you can. Tonight, Formerly Three will be playing your favorite music. They got everything, countries, oldies, rock, whatever. They may even throw a little something off the wall. Who knows? There could be a polka breaking out or a Barry Manilow song or a Florida Georgia Line song. You never know. Anything in between tonight with Formerly Three here at Bandits. When we come back, we're a week away and a day from Fodder Park running the ponies for the first time in 2015. Got a couple emails, and Wayne Anderson, the assistant secretary of Fodder Parks Racing, going to join us coming up after this from Bandits.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts or illnesses,
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
It's the look in their eyes, the smile on their lips, and the big hug you get when you make your Valentine feel extra special with a Valentine's Day gift from Bob's Ass Flowers. Hi, this is Dave from Bob's Ass Flowers. Let us clue you into some of the latest Valentine's Day trends in gorgeous roses, colorful cut flowers, and unique gifts. But you'll see more when you visit our store. Bob's Ass Flowers, 2618 West 2nd in Hastings, open Monday through Saturday. Order by phone at 402-462-2179.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. On the road today here at Bandits in Grand Island. Hope you'll stop by and see us, because right now we are getting ready for lunch. And at Midway, it is Truck Month. President's Day sale is going on at Midway Chevrolet of Kearney. Get up to $1,000 owner loyalty cash on most of the 2014-2015 vehicles if you currently own or even lease a 1999 or newer GM vehicle. And Truck Month at Midway Chevrolet, get great deals on the Chevy 1500, 2500, and Colorado, which of course is the truck of the year. Current GM owners who trade in an eligible vehicle can get even more cash back. See Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney for the very latest, or you can go online at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Like them on Facebook. You can follow them on Twitter for special deals. We, as we always say, you're not going to need to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle every week, but you do want to keep your vehicle in tip-top shape. So if the tires need rotating or you need new tires, just an oil change in and out in 30 minutes, Midway will get you taken care of. Midway, it's a better way. Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Fauner Park track announcer, Steve Anderson with me here at Bandits in Grand Island. And Steve-O, it's exciting. It's close, as we said. We're just a week away from making sure everything is tip-top, prim and proper out at Fauner Park.
Yeah, and the best way to find out if it is is to go to my go-to guy. And without further ado, my go-to guy, I'm sure, is at the other end of the phone right now, Mr. Wayne Anderson, Assistant Racing Secretary out at Fauner Park. The first guy I ever interviewed way back 12 years ago, because he was the only guy that would talk to me back then. I'll never forget. Wayne Anderson, are you there? Because I want you to hear the story.
Yeah,
because I've never passed it on to you.
I'm still talking.
thanks for calling in, Wayne. We do this 20-minute satellite show every Saturday prior to the first race, and it goes out on our website and the whole nine yards, and you know, over the course of 12 years, we've done a lot of things and talked to a ton of people, but it was a hard Jesse to get started early on, and I couldn't get anybody to talk to me the first week I was out there, literally, except for Wayne Anderson. So the powers that be in the front office call me in the day before. They want to know who I'm going to do the show with. And I said, thank heavens, Wayne Anderson's going to talk to me. And the response was, Wayne, what would he have to say?
Right, yeah.
He's never stopped talking since. Thank you, Wayne.
We're still telling stories. Talking has never been my short suit. I can handle that.
Well, Wayne, I've been talking with Steve here for, all the time. Let's face it, every time Steve and I get together, or whether it's face-to-face or not, we're always talking a little bit of horse racing, whether it's what's going on in the state or what's going on at the 5/8 Oval here at Fauner Park. Let's talk 1 week out. How are you feeling as you get ready for the opening of the 2015 season? I'm talking horses, jockeys, you know, as we talk every year. Are we ready to go?
Yes, we are. Yeah, I've been up clocking for the last 2.5 weeks. Now Don Frazier, our new clocker, is up there. But the horses that have been working good and finishing strong, you know, which is a good sign for the horses that we have here on the grounds. And then we have stables that are moving in here in the next couple of days coming. We have a good three stables from Phoenix that are coming up here, and that are new. Ardell Saylor is supposed to be bringing like 30 head up here, and a trainer called Dickie Martinez, and they're all heading up here from Phoenix.
Wayne, what are the challenges outside of obviously the weather, which from time to time, if it's really bad, we have to scratch a day. But as we all know, if we follow Fawner, we're going to start out with some short races, kind of like preseason in the NFL. We're gonna start out a little short, a little slow. We're gonna build. Yet you are bringing in horses that have had to race. What is there an off season? Tell me a little bit about how it takes these horses and why it takes these horses, I guess, for the general fan, a little time to get up to speed again here in February and early March.
Right, because, you know, a lot of these horses have been off for the winter. Like I said, we have some shipping in that we call, you know, that are dead fit. But the other horses that have been off this winter, especially up in here, they need that. They got to get legged up. They need that galloping and training up until they work their way up to, you know, a timed workout and everything. And then they all need a couple, at least 3/8 of a mile and then a half mile works so that they're fit and ready to run in the race. You can't just, you know, haul them over there, run them and hope they're going to finish up. But that's why we have a lot of half mile races here at the start, is because majority of our horses that have laid up all winter, you know, they aren't ready to go that any farther yet.
Wayne, with all this snow we've had over the last couple of weeks, I know one of the first questions that any avid race fan wants to know is, what's the track condition like, and have they been able to get out there very much, and is the conditioning where it should be normally this time of the year with only a week out for opening day? Give us a report on that.
Oh, yeah, they are, because, you know, sure, we've had that snow, and we had a little bit, but overall, you know, our weather's been real good, and every time that, you know, those nice days, and it doesn't have to be that warm, you know, for here, for the guys that are training, and they've been out going strong, and we had that little break, like I said, when that snow hit, but they were, had the track sealed solid, so they got the snow off, and went right on back to training and working horses with just, I think we had 2 days off is all that they missed. And then we have that equisizer that's here that they can take their horses over to, and even if they can't get on the track, they use it over there to keep their horses fit.
I will say this, some of these mornings like today when it's 8 and 9 degrees outside, I kind of like to see him come around every once in a while because it makes Wayne Anderson keep the nose to the grindstone. Otherwise, this guy'd want to be out on the golf course. So, Wayne, I'm glad you're putting in a full day's work today.
You're right there, but if you see my hand, I can't get to the golf course for a while. And that, broke a finger and smashed it all up yesterday working in here in the office.
Is that because your wife is now part of the office personnel?
Yeah, she wasn't even here yesterday. I can't even blame it on her and stuff. So, but I got it. She's in today getting her first day back to work then. So
the jockey colony looks like it's pretty much what we've become accustomed to the last couple of years. But I understand that a couple of old names have returned that have been off for a while at Fawner Park. Bring us up to speed in that department.
So, yeah, and I don't know if anybody, Dwayne Saldino, and he just came in yesterday and stuff. We have a rider coming in from Phoenix, Jose Rivera Jr., and he's been riding down there and doing good. He's supposed to be flying in on Monday and stuff. And then, like you said, we have our, you know, our other riders that have been here all the time and stuff.
Well, Doug Shep, your boss, told me earlier that the Bolus Bombshell, Chris Fackler, is back in the field and has been working horses since the first of the year. That's good news.
Yes, he has. He's been getting on a lot of horses when I was out there clocking and everything. You know, and then we have our, you know, Jake and Jordan Elysiak, and Lauren DeLorme is down here. He's getting on horses, and he's going to ride here. Yeah, and he was up at Canterbury last summer. And that Efren Prado that came in last year, and did good here about the last half of the meet. He's back here already. Nathan Haar and Mike Ziegler. And Charles McClellan, a lot of people here don't know him, but he rode at Columbus all last summer with us, and he came right over here.
It's nice to hear Laren DeLorme, an aggressive rider. He's been in and out of the Fawner fold, so to speak, over the last eight, six, seven, eight, maybe 10 years. One more
right.
in-house question, and I'll let you get back to your work, Wayne. I know Mark Bader returning in the office this year, which caused a little bit of a chain reaction as far as officials go. Mark was the paddock judge and the identifier. So with his absence, right. how does that change things for a number of individuals out there?
Yeah, that puts Fred, we switched Fred Ecapy back to paddock judge and identifier. And, you know, with Don Frazier, we talked to him after he said he had retired this winter from riding, and we threw him right into the mix, and he's going to be the clerk of scales, and he's doing the clocking now.
Well, one thing that Wayne Anderson and Tiger Woods have in common, they're both taking a little time off from the golf course.
This won't be very long, I'm going to tell you that, because if the weather was nice, I'd take this splint off and figure some way to swing anyway.
Wayne, I'll let you out of here with this, and we always appreciate chatting with you. As we get ready for the upcoming year, we know we've had kind of some real record breakers here the last couple years at Fawner Park. So there's always something new going on, but there's really not a whole lot of reason to stir the pot because things seem to be going well. There's always fun out there, especially on Saturdays. Is there anything significant that fans will see different? I know you got a lot of, you've updated the TVs. Anything from the TVs to on the track to maybe some races throughout the year that the fans need to know about when they head out next week?
Not really, except that I'm really looking forward to, like, our stake races because, we have some new horses coming in that have been running stakes at other places. So I think our stake races should be real competitive here.
Yeah, and I see Marvy Johnson's got the nucleus of that terrific stable he had in Indiana last summer and fall. Wayne, a couple of horses jumped off the workout sheet the other day, El Grande Rojo and Wild About Irene. And I'm guessing that there might be some Bosselman potential with some of Marvy's horses he's brought back here this year.
I'm sure there will be, and stuff, because like you said, he's got a tough stable over there. And so, you know, I'm sure looking for him to have one or two nominated for the Bosselman at least.
You know, I've always described Wayne as kind of being the mini Pearl on the backside. If you want to know what's going on, you talk to Wayne. A lot of these things I haven't been able to publish or talk about publicly. I've offered to write Wayne's book. He's got a million stories, as does everybody I've ever met on the backside of any racetrack. I don't know what the statute of limitations are, Wayne, but one of these things, would you just let me
release
one of those juicy stories?
Yeah, but it's fun telling the stories anyway. So.
Well, Wayne, we'll
and you don't know how far they get exaggerated. You know, after a few years,
the older the story, the more that they get exaggerated. Wayne, we'll talk to you throughout the year, hopefully, and can't wait to see you, Mark. Thanks, buddy. Wayne Anderson, the assistant racing secretary at Fawner Park, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're live at Bandits, wrapping things up on this Thursday. Tomorrow, among our guests, Bruce Chevick, the head basketball coach. This is senior at Omaha South. They're coming up for the Heartland Hoops Classic against number one team in the country, Oak Hill Academy. It is going to be a big assignment there. When Oak Hill came out and Omaha Central played them, there was that definite feeling that this could be an Omaha Central upset, which it was, and Omaha Central eventually won it. And one of the reasons why, and Coach Behrens talked about it, was the fan support and the sellout that we had that year, and everybody not only wanting to see Oak Hill, but wanting to see the Nebraska boys do well. And folks, I hope you get a chance to come out and enjoy any and all of the Heartland Hoops Classic. It begins at 11 a.m., six games. It'll finish off at 8 p.m. At the Heartland Event Center. It is a great, great event. Tickets still available. Stop by the Heartland box office or pick them up at your local outlet to get a hold of Tino Martinez and the gang there. at the Pro Team Design, and they'll set you up as well. The girls' sub-district basketball tournaments in C and D begin Monday if you have five or more teams in your sub-district, Tuesday if you have four, and the pairings are out this morning. I want to give you a first quick little look at where the majority of our area teams will be playing, who they'll be playing, and the time before we wrap things up here. The C19 at Grand Island Northwest Monday night. Central Catholic will play Wood River at 7. The winner will then play Central City Tuesday at 5:45. Tuesday, St. Paul will play Adams Central at 7:30. We will be at the C110 at Lexington Tuesday. Minden, the top seed, will play Gothenburg at 5 o'clock, followed by Cozad and Kearney Catholic at 7 o'clock. Those are on Classic Hits. That's on C1, and again, all of those sub-district finals will be on Thursday. In C2, the C23 is at Fairbury. Sutton is the top seed. Their first game is Tuesday at 5:30 against either Tri-County or Thayer Central. Then you slide on down. They kind of got shoved to the east there. Most of the C2 schools, obviously, in our area will be at C.L. Jones Middle School Monday night. Donovan Trumbull will play Franklin at 7. The winner will play Hastings St. Cecilia Tuesday at 6, followed by Sandy Creek and Superior. The C210 is up at Ord Monday night. Gibbon will play Arcadia Loop City at 6:30. The winner will then play Tuesday against Centura at 6, followed by Burwell and Ravenna Tuesday at 7:45. Moving on to the D1 teams from our area, and we will have another one of those sub-districts here on ESPN Radio. The D1-8 is up at Burwell Tuesday. South Loop, which is Callaway-Arnold, will play Twin Loop, which is the Sargent area schools. That's at 6. And then Ansley-Litchfield will play Central Valley at 7:45. The D1-9, that'll be at Hastings-St. Cecilia. Monday, Harvard will play Shelton. That's at 7. The winner will play Blue Hill Tuesday at 6, followed by Kennesaw and Red Cloud, and we will have those games for you on the Breeze 94.5. The D110 will be here on ESPN from Kearney Catholic Tuesday night. The Axtell girls will play Overton, followed by Amherst taking on Elm Creek. And finally, the D2 matchups, schools from all over are all over. The D22 is at Sandy Creek. We're on Monday night. Lawrence Nelson will play Dorchester. The winner will play Hampton Tuesday. Exeter Milligan plays Meridian in the other sub-district semifinal. And then we'll slide to the D26 at Wood River. Giltner will play Heartland Lutheran Tuesday at 6, followed by Wilcox-Hildreth and Silver Lake at 7:45. The D27 is up at Broken Bow. SEM and Pleasanton play each other Tuesday night at 7:30. The D28 is at Holdridge, where Monday Alma will play Elwood at 7. The winner gets the top seed, Bertrand, on Tuesday, and Loomis will play Eustace Farnham. And I hope I covered everyone. That was a lot of teams. Hope they're from your area. We have got basketball tonight all over the place. Iowa-Nebraska women on the Breeze, 94.5. Should be a great doubleheader, especially on the boys' side. St. Cecilia, Grand Island Central Catholic in Hastings tonight. Of course, the only loss the St. Cecilia boys have came in the conference tournament at the Wire to Central Catholic. So the girls and boys doubleheader on 1230 KHAS. Kearney Catholic will host Arcadia Loop City here on ESPN. And Silver Lake is at Giltner tonight on Classic Hits 98.9. So hopefully you can go out and enjoy it as things start to wind down. Also going on tonight, but not on the radio here, Hastings is at Waverly, Adams Central is at Ravenna, Minden takes on Wood River. Steve, a lot of things going on. There's never nothing going on.
I hope you sleep well at night, because I'm exhausted just listening to the lineup that you attempt to tackle day in and day out. And, you know, I'm getting too old. You're down in your three-point stance ready to charge into this thing, and I don't think I can join you down there anymore.
Well, it's all about flexibility and stretching and working out, which I never do. One other thing, in case we didn't mention it yesterday, Nebraska baseball, second in the preseason Big Ten coaches poll. Maryland 1, Nebraska 2. They're really the only two teams that have been rated in any of the preseason polls nationally. Then Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio State. And the Huskers open at Nevada, Las Vegas tomorrow. Steve, if it hadn't been for all this hoops and wrestling going on, I think this would have been a great time to go watch a road baseball game for the Huskers.
Oh, that sounds exciting as well, which makes you know deep down inside that spring is just around the corner. Hey, can I pass along two more horse notes before you throw me down the trap door?
Hold on, because I have a question here that I almost forgot to ask you. This comes from Brent. He says, Steve-O, just curious as to the breeding on a horse from way back in Amadevil. Was that the right way to say
Amadevil?
Amadevil. He goes, I remember
I made Devil 2, who never really panned out, but haven't heard of anything from that amazing horse since. Any ideas as to what happened?
Well, Amadevil was a gelding, so he was never going to pass on his lineage as far as the breeding is concerned. I believe his sire was Admiral Kim. These were all horses named after the Kimling, the great Kimling family that called Aurora home for years and years and years. And quite frankly, as they got out of the business, that breeding never followed. It just kind of came to an abrupt halt. I think Amadevil, without a fact, if he wasn't, he's probably the second leading money earner of all time, because Dazzling Falls took him out when he won the Arkansas Derby here about 12, 13, 14 years ago. But Amadevil will be a real close second. So, you know, I really can't give you a definitive answer in that regard, except you've been around too long to remember this particular horse. It's kind of like Dr. Statt. You know, he was from Fremont with the Rican connections. And, you know, after the course of a couple of generations and 40-plus years, those breeding lines have disappeared. That's the best I can give you.
One more horse racing question. Ask Steve, who is a young horse that you think might take the industry by storm and dominate? Can't wait for opening day and you calling the ponies down the stretch.
A young horse here at Fauner Park or on the national, you know, I'd like to
give us
see,
one of each.
I'd like to see Doug change your attitude about, you know, this horse. I know his owner also, Doug Schumacher. He used to live in Kearney, you know, I don't remember his career being so deflating as you described it. But honestly, I have tried to stay away from the backside of the racetrack up until this point in time because I really fear of wearing out my welcome back there. And one of the things I never, ever talk about with trainers or owners is how good their horses are, especially their babies. Now, if they volunteer the information, you know where it could lead, because I try to use everything and anything I have. You know, I'm picking the races day in and day out to the public, and we got them on our website, the whole nine yards. So, yes, these are the horses that I like, but I, you know, for the lack of a better answer, I honestly don't know of a young horse on the fodder backside right now, other than these horses I mentioned earlier that Marvy Johnson brought back from Indiana. On the national scene, I really fell in love with Texas Red when he won the Breeders' Cup as a two-year-old, and then he comes right out a couple of weeks ago and gets beat in a photo first time out of the blocks. But it's too young to speculate there. Having said all that, two more notes. One, it's difficult to pass this on because we talked about this story 3 weeks ago, but yesterday morning, trainer Gene DeRoy did pass away. He's 71 years of age, a longtime trainer on the backside of Fauner Park, a beloved human being. We called him Chief. We called him the Doctor. It was mistakenly reported on Facebook, as we told this story a couple of weeks ago, that he had passed away in a hospital in Omaha. Gene subsequently called a guy by the name of Mark Lemberg, who's a fellow trainer, a very close buddy of his, and I talked to Mark a couple of weeks ago. He talked to Gene on the phone. This guy's got nine lives. He actually died on the first turn about 4 years ago, watching a morning workout, and they revived him. At any rate, he had terrible heart problems, and we wish all the best to Gene's family, and he is one person we are never, ever, ever going to forget as long as we're still racing here in the state of Nebraska. Second point is, please come out and take a shot at that unique pick five contest that we've got going now for the second year in a row, as Dinsdale Automotive has picked up the sponsorship. It's a minimum $5,000 payoff minus the takeout, you know, which always eats into you a little bit, but it went out five times last year. The biggest payoff was right around $8,000. It's our answer to the lottery. And let me tell you, you got a lot better chance than 175 million to one, and it's only a 50-cent wager. That's available every live racing day, and I can't wait. A week from tomorrow, baby, And it'll be great to see you at the races.
It is back. Steve-O will be with us throughout the Fodder Park racing season. Come on out. Enjoy lunch today at Bandits. The Sparky's Buffalo Chicken Sandwich with French fries, $4.99 is today's lunch special. Can't beat that lunch for $5. Also tonight, come on out. Enjoy some great music. The band Formerly Three will be on hand playing live tonight, getting underway at 9 o'clock. And if you're in town for Valentine's Day on Saturday, whether it's just Valentine's Day, whether it's the Heartland Hoops Classic or anything else, spend some time here at Bandits where you can get a large pizza, two adult beverages, only $20. Two pizzas, four adult beverages will be $39.99, so you'll get a deal on that. Folks, so we will see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Back in studio, Jim Langan will be in as my co-host. Among our guests, Bruce Chubbuck, Omaha South boys basketball coach, talking about the Heartland Hoops Classic. We want to thank Wayne Anderson, assistant racing secretary from Fodder Park, for joining us today. Nebraska Danger head football coach Mike Davis and Ross Halford of Husker Matt as we get in to district wrestling. Steve-O, we'll see you very soon. Have another great 2015 season out of Fodder Park.
As always, we appreciate the kudos and the time to sit opposite you down here at Bandits, and we'd love to see you keep this gig going for a long, long time. And you know you're always welcome up to the press box, the crow's nest, for all the insight of what's really going on at the races.
The real knowledge. And folks, we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a good one.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.